You're listening to Blue Collar CEO, the podcast that's all about helping you build a better, more profitable, and more sustainable home service business. Each week, we will cover a different topic that'll help you enable your company to move forward to success. And here's your host, Ryan Redding.
What is up, Blue Collar CEOs? It's Ryan. It's great to be with you today. Hey, quick reminder, if you haven't left us a review, please take just a second, leave us a review wherever you're listening right now. This is really a great way for us to know that we're giving you stuff you like. Just tell people what you like about it. Helps other plumbing, HVAC, home service companies just like you find the show. We're going to have a really fun episode. I'm getting ready to introduce you to Nancy. We've had her on before. Nancy is a brilliant person. You've probably seen her work throughout the trades because she does fantastic stuff. We're going to be talking all things recruiting because everyone right now that I know is struggling to hire right people for their team. So we're going to get into recruiting. But before we get going into that, we're going to be talking about something even more important that you're going to want to take notes on. And I'll make a hint for you. It's a consumable product. That sounds really lame, but it is a consumable product. But let's get in. All right. I'm really glad to see you again. We had you on early, maybe episode 8. Like, it's been a minute. So yeah, it was, wasn't it? Okay. So for the boys and girls at home listening who don't yet know who you are, Nancy, who are you? What do you do?
My name is Nancy O'Hare-Zika, and I am the owner of Yellow Dog Creative, which formerly was known as Swick Media Services. A lot of people ask me that question. There was another place with another Nancy, and no, it's the same. Still working exclusively with the trades here up in Marquette, Michigan, but work with people all over North America.
And your stuff, you're kind of short selling yourself because the stuff you do like really stands out, has a nice distinctive pop. Every time I see like your video or photo assets, it's like, that is Yellow Dog doing their thing because it's always very well done.
Thank you. You know what? I think our style is very unique. Our videographers are very, the way they capture footage is very cinematic. And, it's funny because I think that in every area of the business world for the trades, there's the best at that, right? You have Dan at charge, right? I mean,
he does kick-ass work.
He's the best, right? And I am proud to say that I think a lot of people mention Yellow Dog in the same.
I would agree with that
for video production and
I would agree. Strategy.
So yeah, thank you.
You did one recently. I don't know how close you were to the project, but it's for friends of mine, but clients of yours, and out of Oklahoma City, and they did like this 1990s sitcom style. It was almost like Family Matters looking. Awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, Champion. So this is how that all came about. So we give our videographers every month what we call a creative day, just so they don't get, they work with plumbing, heating, cooling, electric every freaking day.
Creatives want to create.
They want to create. So they get a creative day. And that was a result of, we had just come off of a Champion on-site visit. So the footage was right there. It just so happened he used those two, and it was awesome. But yeah, very facts of life, very Three's Company. We have an 80s version and a 90s version. And thank you. Funny, really, really cute, but well done by our videographer, editor, Ethan.
Yeah, seriously, that was a lot of fun. And I remember, the day I saw that, the day after, I had dinner with the Harpools. They came to town. And one of the things I teased Brent about was like, bro, you got to do like the Urkel walk-in. Walk in and freeze and look at the camera. Like something that's totally, emblematic of that era of TV. Also, something fun before we get into more, I guess, educational things is I just recently learned before we hit record that you enjoy Fresca. That's a thing for you.
You know what? It's almost addiction level. Not going to lie. I guess there's worse things than Fresca, but I am next level to the point that I stockpile almost doomsday prepper level in the basement office.
I'm not sure that is healthy when you act like,
It's probably more than 30 12 packs of Fresca currently reside in the basement of Yellow Dog Creative headquarters.
So if you were a true prepper, how long of a stash is that for you? Is that like a Thursday afternoon?
That's, I go through, I probably drink a 12 pack a week.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. So I have my first one before lunch, one with lunch, one late day, and then usually one in the evening.
Well, you got to get your citrus in somehow.
I know. Here, this is my husband actually jokingly said, you may die of something, but scurvy, it will not be, because I am going hard on the citrus. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. I also love Fresca. My wife's grandma, before she died, she always had it in her house. And like, so going to her pantry, getting Fresca all the time. Ha-ha.
Isn't that funny? My mom in the 70s, you know, when cottage cheese and Weight Watchers was like a thing, you know, and Tab and Fresca were really the only diet soda back then in the late 70s. And so to me, in my mind, it was an old lady. And ironically, and maybe it still is. Sorry, Shelby, you're young and not an old lady, but yeah, so I love it. I used to be a huge Diet Coke drinker, like 4 or 5 a day. And I quit soda altogether. And, in my attempt to get healthier. And now I'm right back on the train with Fresca. So anyways, that went probably way longer than it needed to. But yes, I'm in love with Fresca.
Well, Fresca's worth spending time on. But
you're,
I think
you're not wrong.
I know I'm not wrong. Yeah. I know. I've got a microphone in my face because I'm never wrong. Don't you know how this works?
That's exactly how it works. The man with the microphone speaks the truth. That's how
it's how it works. And if you don't like it, then whatever.
And drink Diet Coke, whatever.
Yeah. Well, see, now you're going to get them like Diet Coke versus Diet Pepsi or Diet Coke versus normal Coke. And I just don't.
I will tell you, one of my biggest pet peeves when I was a Diet Coke drinker was the waitress that would say to me, oh, well, we have Diet Pepsi. Is that okay? Did I?
They are not the same. No. They are not the same.
No. How would I pay with Monopoly money? Because it's basically the same. So
yeah. That's what I mean. I don't have money, but I have IOUs.
Yeah. Because it's the same.
Yeah. It's cool, right? That's no big deal.
I'm
also that way in root beer too. We are completely chasing weird rabbits. When people are like, you know, do you have good root beer? Like, yeah, I've got Barks or Mug or whatever. Like, that's not root beer. That's not root beer.
No, that's, yeah, you're absolutely right. There's just certain things we have. Now I'm an A&W root beer fan. Yeah. If I'm going to drink root beer out of a can, it's going to be A&W.
There's my favorite root beer. This is probably, by the way, the most productive episode we've ever done to date.
People are really learning a lot. They have their notebooks out. They're waiting for their aha moment any second.
You're like, what are these root beers? So my favorite one is one that's based in Wisconsin. It's called Spreckers.
Okay, well, you're just bougie. That's a bougie root beer.
Okay, one, you're trying to insult me, and I'm taking it as a compliment, so thank you.
No, that's okay. No, yeah.
And yes, I'm bougie with my root beer.
Yeah, that's bougie.
It's like Prohibition. For those who don't know, it's like Prohibition era root beer that they started making when they couldn't make beer. But when they were making beer, their shtick ingredient was honey. They had honey in all their products. So when they started making root beer, they're like, well, let's just keep doing the honey. That's our shtick. But it's so damn good. So good.
You know, I mean, I live in literally the middle of nowhere. So I'm not sure I can find your bougie root beer here. But if I can, I'll buy it and I'll try it.
I'll see if I can ship some to you. I have my local grocery store stock it for me now.
Whoa.
It's not addiction level. It's not as bad as you. Okay. Mine is healthy and moderate and bougie.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
It's highbrow.
More weekend recreational. You're a recreational user.
No, it's more like a fine wine and you're like Mad Dog 2020.
Truer words never spoken right there, my friend.
Well, this is the best intro we've ever had to get into a conversation. Thanks for going on that trip.
You're welcome.
Something that we have been talking about that we see a lot of conversation about with everyone, obviously hiring for the trades has been a problem for a while.
Correct.
And everything related to the COVID response and the economic stress. This is not a political statement, it's just the reality of things. Right. It has created a dynamic where those stresses have become even more painful. So one of the things a lot of the guys I talk to talk about, and a lot of people you talk to about, is recruiting. How do you find more help? How do you find great help? Like, how do you do this? And I know I've seen some of the stuff that you do as far as like helping guide people through, but let's just go there. Like, what's your take on the problem? What's your take on how people think about it?
Yeah,
grab your Fresca. Let's go.
Okay, grab your Fresca, boys and girls. So first of all, the problem has been present, you know, for years and years and years. We've known, we've been watching the trends, we've been watching the retirement age, and we knew by the time we hit this point in the 2000s that we were going to be, you know, 60% low on people in the trades. That, so it wasn't so much of at that point how to stop it, but how to try to manage through it, I guess. We do know that really there's two ways to increase your staffing roster. You can grow your own, or you can hire someone else who's driving someone else's van right now. I mean, either they currently are, or they, you know, you grow them, or you, you know, partner with a trade school. So how do you, right, how do you make sure you are putting yourself in the best light as a company owner to make sure that these people who are either A, in someone else's van right now, or going through trade school or interested in the trades, how do they pick you, right? So the big thing with marketing, every single thing you do helps to tell your story. And by telling your story and making an emotional connection with your community, every single thing you do marketing wise is going to benefit each other. So, you know, if you have a really beautiful van wrap, if you have a great brand, if you have a great reputation, here's the thing, everybody pays well, everyone has benefits, everyone lets you take your van home, everyone gives you a sale. That those are not benefits anymore in the world of trade.
Right, they're not.
You have to be unique, and you have to find something different and unique about your company. When I was the GM of a plumbing, heating, cooling company, the thought of saying, I am not going to have my guys take call anymore would have made me throw up. But now that I'm seeing that companies are doing that, they're like, you know what? It's more important for me to maintain the life health of my employees and keep them on my payroll than it is to do an after hours call. And if that means I lose three or four customers, in the end, it's still better than losing the revenue that a very successful technician is going to bring into your company. So, you know, I sit on the board of Desk Free Nation, which is a nonprofit designed to help reduce the stigma of the trades.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a very cool organization. I work with Megan Bedford and a bunch of other really brilliant people that are involved in the trades. And we are currently creating virtual reality goggles that actually will allow kids in the middle school to install a water heater, install a garbage disposal.
That is awesome.
Do a tune-up on a furnace. So we have all these different goggles that we're starting in Colorado, and then we're going to expand throughout the country. But so that's kind of a big initiative. And I think it's really important for people to think outside of the box right now. But how marketing plays into that is every single day as the owner of a company, it is your job to make sure your reputation and your story is being told properly. Mm-hmm. And the best way to do that is through marketing.
So I think sometimes, because you're saying things, I think sometimes that people don't always correlate, right? Which is the idea that marketing can influence recruitment. Because I think that they think that they're completely unrelated. And it's hard sometimes to get them to go, the same things that you would do to attract good customers that want to hire you.
Yeah.
Maybe sure, some of the tactics would change, but they're often the same sort of processes and steps you would go through to attract great talent that wants to work with you.
Of course. Yeah.
Right. And that goes down to like reputation, to reviews, to like cultural things, all those things. What sorts of challenges do you think companies outside of just finding bodies? Cause I think at this point, some people are trying to be like, I just need bodies. And you're like, no, that's not going to help. Outside of that, what do you think are some of the challenges that companies really need to wrestle with themselves to really set themselves up to recruit at the level they want to or need to?
You know, I think that the old adage, you know, the customer's always right. I think that companies need to reevaluate that. And I think that you need to create an atmosphere for these technicians, whether it be female or male technicians. You need to create an atmosphere that they are deserving of a work-life balance. And I think that, and here's the thing, everybody really wants to work. I shouldn't say everybody. 90% of technicians want to work for the best in town. That I think everyone wants to have that pride factor. There's some people that don't care that they drive around in a piece of junk van with letters falling off. And there's a really small percentage. Most people want that pride factor. And even more than that, like when we do marketing campaigns specifically for recruitment, we also try to target the spouse. And in most cases.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Because as a wife, I want my husband to work at a respectable place in town. I want the van that's parked in my driveway to look nice and be very respectable. And I also want my spouse to work for a company that understands that our kids have Christmas pageants and our kids get sick and our kids have Halloween parties that we don't want to, and we shouldn't have to miss. And I think that when we do recruitment campaigns, we always target the technician, but we also always target the spouse of the technician.
Okay, can I poke you a little bit on that? Because that's really interesting. So what, to the degree you're comfortable sharing, what are some strategies or techniques you might use to target the spouse of a tech?
So one of the commercials that we make actually shows an electrician. He's at a panel and he's clearly working on the panel and he has his cell phone held up to his ear while he's trying to work. And he's saying to the person on the other end of the phone, presumably his wife, "I'm so sorry. I know I'm missing another soccer game. I promise you I'll be there." And then he's like, okay, tell her I love her. And that's where that commercial closes. Right.
Mm.
And it says, you don't have to miss your family's events. Contact Champion Plumbing. And, you know, work for people who care about you and your family. So yeah, it's, you know, it's really a very important aspect. And am I saying that should be the only commercial that you're running? Absolutely not. But should it be part of a 3 recruitment rotation? Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's interesting. I've seen some people throwing out like some silly, silly signing bonuses. What have you seen? One, do they work like people think/hope they do? And 2, like, what are some examples of you see them playing, regardless if they were effective or not?
Yeah, you know what? I think they are effective. I think the ones that are most effective are the ones that also give bonus to the employee, the technicians that bring people in. So, you know, who does a really good job with this is Applewood out in Denver. Applewood has a really big signing bonus. Don't quote me. It might be not quite, but I'm going to say it's like $20,000. And there's a $2,500 and then in 6 months and then a year, and it incentivizes, but also the technician or the employee that brings that person in gets a matching
incentive. Yeah.
I mean, that's your best technicians are going to refer the best technicians, right?
100%.
Yeah. Your CSR who's been with you for 12 years, chances are if she's awesome, she surrounds herself with other awesome people. That's why they're awesome. So I think that's really important. I would say that about 20% of our partners that we work with across North America have sign-on bonuses. So I don't think they're as across the board as people think. And if you were to put that money towards creating a training center in your own facility where you might push 4 or 5 people through every year, that might be more advantageous. But I do know that the companies that do it stand by it.
Yeah. And that's, well, I mean, you just touched on something there. It's like a whole divergent path of getting talent, which is like growing, like you train your talent from the ground up. I would make an argument that that's arguably one of the best ways to do it, because now you got people who know your culture, they know your ethos, they're customer service minded, and then you teach them the skills to the degree that they need to know.
Right.
that's also the long road, right? But for companies who have positioned themselves where they don't have to rely on Facebook ads, just to attract whoever they can get, those guys usually have the best long-term pipeline. There's actually, it's funny saying that, there's a company I'm aware of in Northwest Arkansas. We've actually had him on a previous episode too, where they have their own school. Like, so it's not just four or five techs. I think they do classes of like 80 or 90 at a time.
Yeah.
And then they hire the top 10% or top 5%. And then they kind of like let everyone else go to the wild.
Yeah.
Right. So it's, they invest heavily.
Partners. Golden Rule in outside of Des Moines. They have an academy. Eco Plumbers down in Ohio. They run.
Oh yeah. I forgot that they run that
a really successful. Aaron and his team run a really successful academy. And you're absolutely right. So it isn't that's not your short game. Absolutely. It's not your short game, but I think it's a really, really valuable way to assure that you're going to have enough bodies in vans come 3 years from now. It's just, you know, it's proactive versus reactive. So
yeah. And I'll slightly disagree with what you said, though. It's not just having bodies in vans. It's having the right bodies in the vans.
Trained with your philosophy.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's different than just anybody you can find. I just need you to get behind the wheel, right?
Right.
One of the things, I don't know if you encounter this much, because it seems like by the time you get involved, there are at least interest in going, I can't just throw a hiring form on my website, and I can't just do a careers page with open listings on my website. I feel like one of the things, like, so obviously we do a lot of stuff with websites for these guys, and it's sometimes just be like, give us a reason to make people want to work for you, right? Just help us make you look like an exciting opportunity, especially if you're trying to poach them from somewhere else. Help make you stand out. And the stuff that people tend to give is just, it's the stuff you mentioned earlier, right? It's like, oh, we do a 5-day work week, no on call. You get to drive your van home. That's cool.
Yeah.
We pay for your booties.
And they're fully stocked. They're fully stocked van. Don't forget that.
Yeah. And I mean, I get that at one point in time, that was a headache. But if you're really trying to get someone's attention, like get their attention, I don't think those things stand out anymore.
No.
Like in marketing, I don't know if you know this term. In marketing, there's a term that the BBB uses called puffery. Right. And the idea of puffery is most people just tune it out. Like,
yep.
They see it, they expect it, but they don't actually believe that, you know, that scene in Elf, you've got the world's best cup of coffee. Congratulations, gang. Like that's, no one expects that to be real. And yet people think, hey, if I just say we're a great place to work and fun culture, lots of teams and fill out this form on our website, it's really hard to get them to think that you need to tell a very different story.
Right.
Do you ever struggle with helping people like cross that chasm between don't just say what the job is, don't just say what the benefits are, but tell a compelling story that gets on their radar? Is that ever hard for you?
You know what? It really isn't, because I think we've done it so many times that I have so many proven processes at this stage in the business. Usually people, once, if they are in the Yellow Dog family, they're in the Yellow Dog family because they trust what we do. And I think that, you know, if John Doe business owner reaches out and says, so what do you have for recruitment? You know, what do you have that's different for recruitment? And I send them a link to, you know, 850 different spots and video creation and graphic design stuff and billboard, you know, I think that they're like, oh, okay. All right. I guess she knows what she might be talking about, you know? So I really don't struggle with that. And that's part of, you know, we're a company that follows traction. So we're a big traction company here at Yellow Dog. So we have ideal customers, and part of that ideal customer is understanding that, you know, we know what we're doing. And if you're going to be a Yellow Dog partner, you have to at least drink the Kool-Aid, if you will. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I am willing to listen to everybody, but I'm not willing to compromise what I know works, to jump through a hoop that I've already jumped through and I know it's not going to work.
No, I like that. Okay. So someone's listening and well, statistically, unless they're crazy or they've already got their own academy built up,
right,
they are having the hiring problems too. What are three things that someone listening right now can do today to start, at least maybe not solve the recruitment puzzle, but at least start making progress to being able to position themselves to attract better people?
I would say get out of your own way and really take a hard look at your company. Like, I'm like, painfully look at what you're failing at and address them. Number one. And that's really hard to do for business owners, like really hard. And I'm included in that conversation. The second thing is make sure that every aspect of your marketing, your branding, your story is being told accurately and professionally.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good one.
And I would say, if you are not putting the lives and the livelihood of your people first, you need to examine that deeply and rapidly, and turn that around. Because not only for people that you are looking to hire, but also trying to keep the ones you have. You know, we can talk all day long about recruitment and getting new people, but let's not forget about the ones you have already, you know? So, that's really important too. And, I think putting your money where your mouth is, honestly. Mm. Yeah.
Well said. If somebody wants to pick your brain or see examples of the stuff that you do for other shops, how would they reach out to you and see what you've got going on?
So, the easiest way to see our commercials, would be to go to the Yellow Dog Creative website, www.yellowdogcreative.com. There is a drop down that has different, you know, if you scroll down, you're going to see all, it's not, of course, like we have thousands of commercials and radio spots and direct mail pieces and things at this stage of the game, right? But we have a handful in every genre, whether it's recruitment or call to action or testimonials. And my email address is there, and as is the rest of the team. And you know what? I say this all the time, and unfortunately, a lot of people do not take me up on this. You do not need to be a Yellow Dog partner to pick up the phone and have a 2-hour, 1-hour, 10-minute, half day. I love the trades. I am passionate about this industry, and I would love nothing more at this stage of my career. I don't do a lot of day to day anymore. You know, I have great people surrounding me here. I love spending time just brainstorming with people, coming up with cool campaigns, or if you have a crazy idea and you want to know if I've ever heard of anyone else doing it, pick up the phone. That's why I do this podcast. You know, I am not, this isn't the Wizard of Oz. You know, we don't have like a little gate and a door that you have to, you know, get past to get to me. Literally my cell phone number is on the website, as is my email. And I do that because I encourage people to reach out with marketing questions, anything I can do. Yeah. Love it.
That is awesome. Nancy, I always love talking to you because you are transparent. You're helpful. You're a breath of fresh air, and you're just flipping brilliant in everything that you do.
Oh, thank you.
So,
And I drink Fresca.
I said flippin' brilliant.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. I'm sorry.
It was included. Also, just so you know, while we've been talking, I went ahead and ordered a couple things of Sprecher's that go to your office. So keep your eye out. I got you a root beer, and I got you like they call it Orange Dream. It's like a dreamsicle. It is fantastic.
Stop it. Thank you so much, Ryan.
So you are welcome. It's not the same as Fresca.
No,
but I hope you love it.
No, well, nothing is the same as Fresca. Let's
Nancy, Yellow Dog Creative. I'm not going to say the www's because it's just hard to.
W.
Just going to say yellowdogcreative.com. Thank you so much for your time. Yeah, .com. Is that still a thing?
It's not a thing.
It's not. Oh.
No, it is a thing.
Then why would you, okay, now I'm really confused. I'm not going to sing the .com. I'm just going to go yellowdogcreative.com. Mm-hmm. Now I want to sing it.
Dang it. Damn it.
Thank you for ruining that for me.
forever.
Nancy, you are awesome. Thank you so much for your time. Yellowdogcreative.com. You're the best. Go out there and recruit some great talent.
See you later. Thanks for having me. Bye.
This episode was hosted by Ryan Redding, author of the book on digital marketing for plumbing and HVAC contractors. This show also includes much help from Shelby Nichols. You can subscribe to Blue Collar CEO on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Visit us online at bluecollar.ceo and find us on Instagram. Also, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review.